power of El, the power of Slichos. Slichos defines the essence of Chodesh El. As a matter of fact, the Minhag Ashkenazim, that we begin reciting Slichos, the Motzei Shabbos for Rosh Hashanah this year. Some years it's a week and a day, and a Motzei Shabbos or early Sunday morning. And the rule, cardinal rule, is number one, we have to have at least 4 days. And number two, we have to start on the Motzei Shabbos. Those are our two rules. And so why? So therefore, if you have 4 days within that week, we'll start the Motzei Shabbos before. If there aren't 4 days, for example, if Rosh Hashanah will be on a Monday or a Tuesday, we start from the week before that. The question is, why 4 days? So the Mishnah Berurah mentions the two reasons why 4 days. One reason is because there was a minhag back at some time in our history, whether the minhag did not still exist, but certainly it's not widespread, that there were many Jews who would fast during Aseret Yemei Teshuva. However, there were 4 days in Aseret Yemei Teshuva where you weren't allowed to fast, and those were, for most people, 2 days Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos, and Yom Kippur. And in order to make up those 10 days, so those 4 days, they had 4 days of Slichos, and therefore the minhag was to fast during those 4 days of Slichos. That's one reason. The second reason why we have 4 days of Slichos, is because there's a halacha that when you bring certain korbanot, you're supposed to look the korban over for 4 days before and make sure the korban is pure, there are no blemishes. And Rosh Hashanah, we're supposed to consider ourselves all like a korban. When it comes to the korban of Musaf that we offer on all the holidays, so we always say the hikratzen. Rosh Hashanah, the Torah uses the word basisem. We have to make ourselves into a korban. Whatever that means, that's probably a topic for another shiur. But one of the aspects is that before we offer ourselves, we should check ourselves over, and we need 4 days. And for that reason, we have at least four days of slaying Slichos, which means that Slichos, and I'd like to say that all of Elul, is really a preparation for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And really, and we're not as intense as some other Jews are. We don't start from the second of Chodesh Elul, but really all of Chodesh Elul on some level is supposed to be a preparation. Now, I've mentioned in the past that everyone always quotes the pasuk, Aryeh Shag Milo Yiroeh. A lion roars, who's not going to be afraid? And what does the lion roaring stand for? So Aryeh, so the Aleph stands for Elul, the Reish stands for Rosh Hashanah, the Yud stands for Yom Kippur, and the Hey stands for Hashanah Rabbah. How can a person not be afraid in Chodesh Elul? How can a person not be afraid of Rosh Hashanah? How can a person not be afraid of Yom Kippur? And how can a person not be afraid of Hashanah Rabbah? I'll be very honest, I don't see many people walking around, at least today. Maybe they were, being very afraid on Elul. And I don't really see Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur a little bit. And so, and the Shana Rabbah, people looking at the watch. When is Shul going to end? They can get home and eat their kreplach. So I think Rav Herzog once explained, why is it people are not afraid? He says, very simple. We go to the zoo. We see a lion behind the cage, right? We're not afraid because the lion's behind the cage. But if you see some wild animals running around not behind the cage, so then we're afraid. See, it says El or Shoshanah, they're all behind the cage. That's how he explains. However, whatever the reason is, it seems that in general, the Hashkafas HaChayim is not to look at Elul as a frightening time. So the question is, what really is Elul about? How can we make the most of our Elul? And I'd like to learn from the Slichos how we can make the most of Elul. Now, the idea of saying Slichos Olo Chodesh Elul, if you look at source number 3, so the Rush mentions, now the Rush is fascinating as you know, the Rush actually, even though he comes from Ashkenazic stock, he ended up in Spain. So Amar Li Rav Cohen said it. Rav Cohen said, Minig the Shtei Yeshivos, the Minig in the two Yeshivos, there were two yeshivas in Babel, so even though at the end of the Tufat HaGaonim, the period of Gaonim, I believe both yeshivas ended up in Baghdad, they still hit them in Hagim. So the minhag in both yeshivas was to say Slichos, Lomar Tachanunim, and Aseret Yemei Teshuva. V'chein Amar Rav Amram, however, he says that Rav Haigo and his custom was only to say Slichos, in the tent in Aseret Meshuvah. And he says, however, he says, there are some kehilos that start saying, Slichos from Rosh Chodesh Elul. Why Rosh Chodesh Elul? What happened Rosh Chodesh Elul? Rosh Chodesh Elul was when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain the third time. We know he went up three times to get the Luchos Shnios. And therefore he says, so they start then, and the truth is, it's not so bad because the more you ask for Rachamim, it's a merit. And this is what Ritz Geir says, and the Rosh points out, V'anam min hageinu min hanach b'kan Rosh Chodesh Elul. The Rosh says in Spain, they would say Slichos from Rosh Chodesh Elul. And this is after how the Rambam, the Rambam points out that we'll come back to the Rambam in source number 4. This is Midarkei Tshuva. To do tshuva doesn't just mean to do tshuva and say you're sorry, but the Rambam says Midarkei Tshuva says Lios Hashav Tzoek Tamil Lefnei Hashem, that the person who's doing tshuva should cry before Hashem. The B'chi V'Sachanunim. Sachanunim means the slichos. We'll come back to this. To do tztaka, umisrache karbi min adavar shechatabo, and he has to distance himself very far from what he sinned, umishana shmo, and he has to change his name. What does that mean? Because I'm someone else. Okay, we'll come back to this Rambam. And according to the Rambam seems to point out that when is this custom to say slichos? The Rambam says the custom to say slichos is during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Afalpi, it's halakha vav, the source number 4. Afalpi, even though tshuva, doing tshuva and tzaka and crying out is always good, Basara Yomim, the 10 days between Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's the best. And it's accepted immediately. Okay? So, that is the Rambam sheet. So what I'd like to understand is to understand what Slichos is all about and the power of Slichos. So if you look at source number 5, we'll start with that. The Gemara in that Rosh Hashanah says like this. There are 4 things that tear up the Gzar Din of a person. 4 things tear up the Gzar Din of a person. What are the 4 things? The 4 things that are four, actually number 1, Staka. When a person gets Staka, it tears up. It tears up the Gzar Din. So from the Gemara it sounds that if I do something wrong, and I get stuck up in a tear of the Gzar Din, and that's why we know many times when someone feels that something dramatic is about to happen, they might get stuck up. So he says, it's fascinating. If you look at the very end of the Daf Makoros, and I actually forgot where I found this, but it's in the Meal Stuck of one of the Achronim. I saw it. I didn't have the Meal Stuck online. I don't think I can even find it in Hebrew books, but I found it somewhere else. If a person says, Avar Aveira, Shekorem Eskitzer Shonim, He says, he quotes Mil Tzok, if someone does an Aveira which causes, shortage of years, and he becomes sick and he falls into bed, if he does Tzokah, Kochol Levatel Men Akitzer Hashanah Shezchayim Alos Aveira. The Tzokah itself can actually tear up that Aveira, that decree. Val Misa Zunemar, he says, And this misa says, "Utsaka tafli mavet," that charity saves from death. And then he goes down, and afilu misa misiba aveira. We see the power of tzaka. Even if someone is he's supposed to, maybe he might die because of a certain aveira. Even though he did not do tshuva, why? Because since he was zocha to the mitzvah of tzaka, it's able to somehow extinguish that aveira, the greatness of tzaka. The greatness. It's able to go ahead and somehow or another, it's able to go ahead and to deal with the consequences of the aveira. So we have to understand what does tzaka do? What does tzaka do? How does tzaka accomplish that? If I do an aveira, I didn't do tshuva. Tzaka is a certain koach. How does that work?
What?
Mil Tzedek. Yeah.
Who's in
the Chalif? It's one of the Achronim. Unfortunately, I couldn't find a safer online. But I've heard, it's not like one of these Sfarim that it's fly by night. I've seen it before. So anyway, so that's what understand Staka. Then he said Staka. The second attribute the Gemara says in source number 5 is Staka. What does Staka mean? Staka means to go ahead and to cry out. So, what do we accomplish by crying out? Then Shinu, so we'll come to Shinu Hashem. Shinu Hashem is changing who you are, changing your name. And when you change your name, maybe in a certain sense it helps you. It helps you, follow a certain path. I'll give an example. And this is not a, this certain boy once called me up, one of my students. He learned to hear, and he was in Yeshiva University, and he called me up and he said to me, "What do you think?" He says to me, "I want to start wearing a black hat." Okay? So I said, "I don't know why you have to ask me. You know, sometimes you get a strangle, you have to ask your rabbi for permission to wear a strangle. But I want to wear a black hat." So I said to him, "Why do you want to wear a black hat?" But so he asked me. So, you know, I want to hear a reason. He thought about it. It's a good question. He said, "Because I think that if I he lives in America, if I wear a black hat, it'll help me identify with a certain group of people." And he says, "It'll help me in my avodas Hashem." I said, "Fine." So in other words, the idea of Shinu Hashem is that, you know, if I have a new name, all of a sudden now I can go ahead and I'm able to somehow forge a new path. Okay. The last thing, which was seems the most obvious, is Shinu Maisa. Change your reactions. So that means if I tell Lashon Hara, stop on Lashon Hara, which seems very simple. So if you look at the second part of source number 5, I don't have the Rashi on the page, but the Ritva quotes Rashi. And what does Rashi say? Rashi says, Shav Meirasa. You know what Shinu Maisa means? Shinu Maisa means that someone goes ahead and he changes his actions. He does something different. He does something different. He does something different. So he says, so Rashi, so he says, so now he doesn't know anymore. So Rashi says, so Ritva asks on Rashi, I mean, that's obvious. Obviously, if I go ahead and I do something wrong, right? And I change my actions, of course, because it's here of the Gzardin. So we have to really understand, what Rashi is, what is Rashi explaining? You know, Rashi explains, you stop doing your Averis. It's obvious, of course you stop doing Averis. Well, what's the Chiddush here? The Ritva suggests something different to the Sheet of the Rambam, and what's the Ritva's Chiddush? Ritva's Chiddush is like this. Ritva's Chiddush is like this, that he says, talking about a person who does something wrong, and he changes the actions, but that's not good enough. Okay, well, that's not good enough. He says, what does that mean? In other words, even masim rishus, things that are not asur, he changes. Now, why would he change things that are not asur? What that means is that, let's say, for example, he says, you know, I do two actions. Action, and because I'm doing action A, that causes action B. So I can do action B, right? I can do action B. I can stop doing action B without stopping action A. But I know that once I do action A, it's very difficult. So I'm going to go ahead now and stop doing action A. That's the idea. So I'll give an example, which maybe, you know, isn't a bad example. Let's say you have, and unfortunately this is very prevalent. Let's say you have a person that, unfortunately, because of the internet, is unfortunately going on sites that are very inappropriate, which everyone agrees to. Everyone agrees, there's no question. Unfortunately, this is something where people stumble and fail. And you know, he one day he feels bad, right? And he says he decides he wants to get a filter, right? But he knows that even get the filter, right? It's very easy to override the filter. So he says, you know what? I only need my internet certain times a day for my business. And I'm going to do it when my wife's in the room with me. All right? Let's say he says that. So again, what he's basically saying is he's changing other actions. Or let's say, for example, you have a person who doesn't need a car. He has a terrible habit when he's in the car. He speeds, and it's very dangerous, right? So he says, "I'm not in that. I'm going to stop speeding. I don't need the car. I'll have." He says, "I'm going to let my wife have the car all the time now." Right? Two other actions. That's the idea of Shinu Maisa according to Rizva. Okay. I'd like to understand Rashi Shita and maybe even on another level the Rizva. Okay. So that's I know this sounds like a Chuba Shir, it's not. It's about Slicha. So let's look at source number 6. Source number 6 is very important for Chodesh Shel. So source number 6, Ramasas Rosh Hashanah, quotes the Mara Vayavar Hashem Panav Yikra, which he said before your Gilamidos. He says, and Hashem passed over in front of Moshe, Hashem called out. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Il Mole Mikra Kasid, it wasn't really Pasuk. We couldn't say this, but if this Pasuk sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrapped himself in a talis, God Almighty wrapped himself in a talis, right? Act like a Shliach Tzibur. And the Ritva points out, that's how it looked to Moshe Rabbeinu. Obviously, Hashem is not a human being. He says, and what happened? He says, he told Moshe to daven. And then he says like this. He says, Kol Zman, anytime the Jews sin, they should do like this Seder. What does that mean, this Seder? They should say, Hashem, Hashem. And what does Hashem mean? I am Hashem before he sinned, and I am Hashem after he sinned, and do tshuva. Right? And then Rabbi Yehuda says, there's a bris, that whenever we say these Yigim Midos, we don't turn away empty-handed. When we say the 13 Midos, the attributes of mercy, we say that, God accepts our prayers. And that's what Slichos is all about. And that is what I would like to explain. So, in order to explain, I understand one more question. Right? And that question is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrapped himself in a talis, and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrapped himself in a talis, so when we say Slichos, or at least the Chazan says Slichos, he's also supposed to go ahead and to wrap himself in a talis. As a matter of fact, there's a custom, a widespread custom, that we wear a talit on Yom Kippur night, and the question is why. So in source number 8, the Magen Avraham mentions one reason. It's very simple. He mentions a few other reasons. But because we have to imitate God. And just like God wrapped himself in a talis, we have to wrap ourselves in a talis also. And then he says something else. But he wrapped himself in a talis. The question is, why? What's the significance of wrapping yourself in a talis? The Mikta Melio in source number 9 says, the reason is you shouldn't think about anything. You should not be distracted. So you have the talis over your head. But there has to be something more than that. So in order to understand the power of Slichos, and hopefully understand the power of Chodesh Elul, so I'd like to draw up what my uncle once pointed out. And he said like this. He says, we as human beings are very conflicted. Why? See, he quotes the Medrash in source number 10. The Medrash in source number 10 points out that, quotes the Pasuk, and he says that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he thought of us, we were the purpose of the world, but we were the last created. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, and then he created human beings. Achar l'maisa, hayom ha'achron, v'kam l'ashim rishon. He thought about us, that was the purpose. And he created us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us at the end. Why? So he says, the Medrash says, the Shulchan Aruch says, that if we are zocha, we merit, we do what God wants, so we're greater than the malach. Kodesh Baruch Hu says he created us to be greater than the malach. He says, but if not, if unfortunately we stumble and we give in to our passions all the time, then Kodesh Baruch Hu says to us, who do you think you are? A fly was created before you. So we as Jewish people are very conflicted because we walk around all the time, and on one hand, we're supposed to believe in godless other, the greatness of the person, and other times, we also have to believe on some level in shiftless other, how low a person is. There were two schools of Musar in Europe. One school is the school of Slabodka. Slabodka believed in godless other. They believed in walking around, you know, with clean clothes and being successful and being proud. And then there's the school of Nevardak. Nevardak believed in shiftless Adam. So they didn't care so much about clean clothes. And, you know, the story is told, they would even make themselves look foolish. What does that mean? The classic story is, they would walk into a bakery and ask for a bunch of nails. They'd walk into a hardware store and ask for a cake. And a person would look at them and say to them, like, what are you, crazy? Right? And that's it. So, in a certain sense, you know, we all are as individuals conflicted. Sometimes we think we can accomplish something. Other times we fall back. And that being said, so I would just add, I don't think we'll meet Rosh Hashanah. My father pointed out that Rosh Hashanah is devoted totally to godless other, the greatness of man. That's why, if you notice, that Rosh Hashanah is so different than any other day of Teres Metshuva or any day from Slichos. Why? Because Rosh Hashanah, we don't say Vidui. The only time we actually mention the fact that we sinned, is in Avinu Malkeinu, we say, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we sin before you.
And you censor that.
And it's the Dusuk of Chabad to take it out. I was raised to say it, but then in general, he says, and then also for those who stayed in Ribono Sha'olam, before we hit the Torah, also there we mention the fact that we sinned. So the question is why? So it's a day devoted to Godless Adam. Why? Because if I start the year off and I think, oh my gosh, I'm such a low person, I can't accomplish anything. If that's the Yom HaShoshanah, what's the rest of the year going to be like? Right? And my father pointed out, he said, the Nitziv, his great-great-grandfather, was, besides being Rosh Hashiva, and besides being a Rav, and being a Posek, he also had another talent. Nitziv was a Chazan. Okay? And he davened every Musaf of the year. From Rosh Chodesh, to Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Shalosh Regalim. And whenever he died, I just tell you, you know, if everyone, you know, knows who the Nitziv was, I'm told the famous Achav V'Chartanu, you know, Achav V'Chartanu, Mikol Ha'amim, I hear the Nitziv, he's the one who composed that tune. Right? He was a Chazan. And every time he cried, every time he died in Musaf, he cried every single time. My father used to say, I'm not sure if my father was being dramatic, there were so many tears, the shamash would come after davening and wipe out the puddle. Okay? I'm not sure. But Rosh Hashanah, he didn't cry, not one tear. Rosh Hashanah is a day where you don't cry, because it's a day devoted to God and to other. The rest of the Teres Mitzvah, however, there's no question that we're definitely conflicted. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the slichos, and I have some of the slichos here. I just took source number 12, the Sarva of Asherei. And I didn't check what the Sfardi Nusach is, but I assume it's the same thing. And we say L'cha Hashem Atstaka, Lana Borsha Bonim, Hashem, you're righteous. We're embarrassed. What can we say? How can we justify ourselves? He says, no, we stretch out to you and we come to you in Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, what can we say to you? We're embarrassed of our actions. What can we tell you? We're so afraid. There's nothing we can do to justify ourselves. Nothing. And I want you to know, this always bothered me. Always. The first night of Slichos, I come before Kadosh Baruch Hu. Instead of Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have nothing. Nothing? Nothing to say in Kadosh Baruch Hu? I don't have any of you. I got up at 5:40 at Rosh Chodesh. It wasn't so easy. I don't even have getting up early in Rosh Chodesh. Nothing. What does that mean? Nothing, you know. And there are times that, you know, we do something, we feel we're Moser Nefesh. What is it? It always bothered me. What does it mean we have nothing? Nothing in Halakhah Baruch Hu. But that's what Slichah is about. And if you look at source number 11, this is my uncle Sefer Maseches Brachos. He says, what is the Inyan Shetachonein Daito Olav? The fact that, you know, the Inyan that you have to go ahead and Shetachonein Daito, what does that mean? He says, Hainu Sheyisfalem, you have to daven, Mitoch Hargosha, She'en Lo Zchus Tviya Mehashem Yisbarach. That there's nothing you can ask from God. Rak Mevakashimenu, we're asking Manas Chinam. And he says, like the Nusach Slichos, Kedalim Karashim, like a poor man, I knock on your door. We have no time to ask you anything. And that's Veschanan Al Hashem, when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted her and so, said, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, I have no time. I want a present. He says, and I want your chesed. And that is what Slichos is about, the coin of uncle. So I want to take it one more step. And I want to say that not only, and we'll see, I think this is the theme of all 40 days, not only do we can't ask God, have a time against a Kadosh Baruch Hu, against God, and we deserve something, but what we're basically saying, I think, is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we need you. Without you, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we can't accomplish anything. That's the idea. In other words, we're saying is we have no schus, we have nothing, because we need you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, if you go in and you look, the source number 16. So he says the Rambam, source number 16. In the Ila, where we have Bidu in this day there, what can we say to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And because our sins are greater, we can't be counted. What are you? What are our lives? We have, what chesed do we have? What tzedakah we do? What can we say to you? Everyone's like nothing before you. Hashem, those who have names, they're zero. And no one has any wisdom. He says, because all their actions are nothings. He says, Aval, you have separated Enosh Merosh, and we say also, extend a hand to the sinners. So what does this mean? What does this mean? This is the last lichos of the year. What does it mean? So the Dubner Magid brings a mashal. I think it's a very beautiful mashal, and I think it really puts into light what slichos and all 40 days are all about. And he said like this. He says a mashal, a parable about a king. And a king has an only daughter. And obviously she gets to be a certain age. And he's worried about marrying her off. The problem is that this daughter, she's a princess, and she's very choosy. So you have all these princes coming, you have these dukes coming, and everyone coming, and no one's good enough for her. Nobody. And you know, this poor king is ripping his hair out. He has any hair left, you know, because he says, who's my daughter going to marry? He doesn't know what to do. Finally he says, okay, it's only a mashal, so it's not really true. So don't start questioning who this king is. He says, the next man you see, I don't care who it is, comes after your hand, you're going to marry him, and that's it. Okay, so how would you like the next person that comes in, seems like a nice guy, but to use the words in those days, he's a simpleton, a peasant from a small town in the kingdom. But you know, the king is a very honest man. He wasn't a corrupt politician. And he gave his word, So they have this, you know, they have the engagement, they have this very big wedding. And now it's time for this young, you know, this groom to take his bride home. Okay, so they have the whole entourage with all the royal clothes. And then they get to his hometown. And very quickly she learns this isn't a palace. All right? And she has to get to work, actually. And she puts away her royal clothes, and her mattress is not a mattress, it's just a straw, and the food is not the food, it's probably food none of us would even eat, right? And, you know, and she's like, can you imagine going from a palace to something like this? And it's like this, she can't deal with it. So finally she sends a letter to her father. She says, Dad, I can't take this anymore, the way they treat me, you have to come help me. King reads this letter and he says, oh my gosh, this is crazy. So he sends out a letter, a proclamation, that Yaakov knows where this is going. In 40 days, I am coming to visit my daughter. Okay? So all of a sudden, 40 days to come to visit, start getting nervous. So you know, they tell her, you know what? You don't have to work anymore. Just take it easy. A few days, you know, so I would say a few days before, so 15 days before, let's say, before the king's about to come. So all of a sudden they hear the royal entourage is starting to come. So, you know, they say to her, you know, maybe we should get you a better bed. So they go and they find the best bed for her. And then they bring in nice chairs. And then the king's entourage comes 10 days before he's supposed to arrive. All right, and he says, then all of a sudden, you know, everyone is basically serving her, what do you need? All these are taken care of. And then, the day the king arrives, they pull out her royal clothes. She looks like a princess again. So the king comes, and everyone's very happy. The king's mad, oh, look, his daughter. And he's about to leave, everything's great. So as he's about to leave, the princess comes, Father, don't leave. It's all a fake. As soon as you leave, you're going to go back to where before. So the king turns to Salomo and says, is this true? He says, yeah, it's true. What do you want from me? I'm a peasant. I grew up on a farm. I know how to live on a farm. You want me to treat your daughter like a princess? Take me to your palace. And treat me how to be a prince. Teach me to be a prince. Inspire me. The same thing, you know, everyone knows the mashal's going. The mashal's going. The Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the Torah. The Torah cries. And, you know, all of a sudden, B'chor Shel was supposed to be better.
And Rosh Hashanah comes and we're very careful. Yom Kippur, we're in shul the whole day. Torah cries out to us. Say, Hashem. Hashem says, is this true? He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? Atah nosen yad l'poshim. You know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We need you. We need you because we can't accomplish anything without you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, I think, is what, in a certain sense, Slichah is about. Slichah isn't just about the fact that we have no action. What we're saying is anything that we can accomplish. The fact that we might have gotten up early to daven. The fact that we might have done a chesed. The fact that we keep Shabbos. Whatever is involved, it's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu on some level is holding our hand. And that's what we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're recognizing the fact how much we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be there for us. And I think, and anything we do, we only have because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us. And I think that's really the reason, one of the reasons why we're supposed to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu covered the face of the talis, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to us, a chazan should also cover his head of the talis. Why? So, the when else do we cover ourselves, our faces? When else do we cover our faces?
During the
Kriya Shema. What?
Kriya
Shema. Kriya Shema, cover our eyes. Right? That's to have kavanah, that's clear. What? Birchat Kohanim. The Kohanim, yes, so there you're not supposed to look at the Kohanim, right? Tachanun, there's a halakha. When you say Tachanun, you're supposed to cover your face. Why do you cover your face? So Rabbeinu Bachayim, source number 13, says there are three reasons why. He says, Rabbeinu Bachayim says, why we cover our face for Nefilas Tachanun, for Tachanun? He says, one is, Mor HaShechina, we're in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second is to show our tsar, how much pain we feel. And the third is to show asiras chushav. We're trying to show how we can't move without God. We cover our bodies up, we can't move without God. That's the idea. That we need a Kadosh Baruch Hu, without a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we can't move. And I think that's the point of Tachnus for us to understand that we can't move. Now, Tzach Lichos is that we can't move without a Kadosh Baruch Hu, without a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We can't do this, we can't do this. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because we need you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We really need you. That's the idea. So it, now, many times a year we say, yes, we have tremendous potential. Constantly, we're not saying, we're not just beating ourselves down. Because how do you walk away beating yourself down? We're saying, without you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't accomplish anything. With you, God, there's so much we can accomplish. The point of Slichos is to drive home the point that we can only accomplish with the help of God. That is the point of Slichos. And that in regard to whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual, there's a very famous story of the Baal Shem Tov. Very famous story. And again, I say these stories, but this story, you know, I just read today. I actually heard from an uncle of mine. I have an uncle who was a business or chassid. He wasn't a real business or chassid. He had business or ancestry. And I remember once, I was 17 years old, and he told me a story, Hasidic Shemaisa. I said to him, it's a Hasidic Shemaisa. And he pulled me by the hand, and he said, what are you, a litvak? The answer is yes, I'm a litvak. And he told me to my father, and he said, Rabaran, did you hear what your Chaim said? Then he says to me, anyone who believes every story, Hasidic story, is a fool. And if you don't believe any story, then you're not the chorus. That's what he told me, okay? So this story, which I'm going to say, is probably one of those stories which if you don't believe, I don't want to say it, but anyway, this probably story is probably happened. So the Baal Shem Tov, Zecharo Livracha, once said to his Baal Tokeya, whose name was, I think, Rav Zev, and he said, listen, he said, the famous story, I want you to go ahead and I want you to learn all the kavanas for Tekiya Shofar. Okay, so he spent his days, you know, until Rosh Hashanah learning, and he wrote down notes, okay? And he's about to say the brachas of the Kiyah Shofar, or maybe made the brachas. He pulls a paper out of his pocket, and it's the wrong paper. Happened to me once also. So I came to give a shiur, and I left the wrong notes for a previous year. So he says, I don't know what I'm going to do. So the Baal Shem Tov says, learn all these kavanas. He spent days. It's a blank piece of paper. So what does he do? He just starts to cry. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me. The Baal Shem Tov said to him, those tekiyos were
unbelievable. They unlocked every single gate. Because when you commit to something and you believe that you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is when you're going to be successful. And I think that's the point we have to drive home. Let me, one more example today. And by the way, it's very difficult for people. We might say it. We might say it that we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to really bring home that point, that point should become part of us, is very difficult. You know, I had a discussion with somebody. Someone's called me recently, last few months. And he started asking me, I'm not really sure how this conversation got to where it went to. But it was very, it was mind-boggling. And he said to me, he asked me about how we can live today with the Torah, like how do you keep Orla, how do you keep Shemitah. So I didn't understand the question, because I have a garden, I kept Orla, I kept Shemitah, Baruch Hashem, I hope I kept Shemitah, right? And if you don't have a garden, there's still ways to keep Shemitah. And then we got into technology. And this was really, well, you know, how relevant is the Torah because there's so much technology? So I said, well, you need Torah to control technology. And he said to me, technology is wonderful. And I said, technology is wonderful, but if it's out of control, right, you can destroy. And there are obvious examples what that means, but I have to tell you that the last 2 weeks, I learned, brought home a lesson to me, where the problem with technology is. I happened to be with some members of my family in Vienna for a few days. Anybody here been to Vienna?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, if you remember Vienna, we were trying to find a kosher store. And we were walking around with our phones and Google Maps, and we got lost. Not only did we get lost, it wasn't like, we were lost l'mahadran, which meant that a 10-minute ride on a bicycle should have taken us 10 minutes. It took us probably 50 minutes, okay? And what's the problem? Because we kept looking at Google Maps. And we didn't think for a second, maybe ask somebody to help you out.
There was no
women
there?
We asked, well, whatever, I'm getting into what happened exactly. But finally, you started asking questions, you started figuring things out. What happens is because of technology, we all self-reliant. I don't need anything. If I have a question, I'll just type it into Google. If I want to find how to go somewhere, I'll type it into Google. If I need to buy something, you know what? I'll just have it sent. You know, as long as you find a family member coming from America. But in general, we're self-reliant. It's very difficult for us today to understand that we need someone's help, whether it's another human beings, but certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the point of Chodesh Elul. The point of Chodesh Elul is to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything that we do, we need your help. And that's And it's not just that to accomplish anything in this world, to accomplish anything in the next world, whatever we do, we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help. And therefore we have to cover ourselves up to show that we can't live without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the Yudgimu Midos are so important. Because as we said, if someone says Yudgimu Midos, there's a haftach, a promise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not turn us away empty-handed. So if you look at source number 15 is the Shlach HaKadosh. He says, he asked the question, Adavar HaKasha, Shari Anu Rowan, we see Shekama Pamed, many times we mention the Yudgimu Midos and we're not answered. El Gaonim say, what do the Gaonim say? Yasu Lefanai Kaseder Hazeh. He says, it doesn't say to say the Seder, to do. What does it mean to do? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to go ahead and follow the Midos. Kel Rachum V'chanum. The Hainu, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Rachum, we have to be a Rachum. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Chanum, we have to be a Chanum. That's the idea of the Midos, is to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. It's fascinating if you look, that there really are more than Yudgimu Midos. There are more than 13 attributes. We only repeat the first 13. Why repeat only the first 13? The answer is like this. There are two types of midos of Hashem. There's what's called midos diyamin, the midos of the right side, that's what we say. And then there's the midos of the left side, which we don't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does take nekama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does punish. We don't say that. Right? Why are the midos that we express and we say all over called midas yamin? Because we know, for all those that are righties, I happen to be a righty. Most of my children are not.
Of all those that are righties, what's the idea of being having a right hand? That usually that's the hand that you use.
Someone who's a left, use the left hand. In general, what can I tell you? I hear this all the time. The world is a right-handed world, okay? You buy a notebook, it's good for writing. That's just the way it is. Now you can buy left-handed notebooks also. But in general, the world is, you know, is prejudiced against left-handers. What can I say? I don't think most of my family are lefty. So
yeah,
I
talented.
What?
They're
very talented, very special, very wonderful. But unfortunately, some of the things created for them are really created for right-handed people. You can't, that's the way the world is.
He says, if someone's the right hand, he's the right hand most of the time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses these midos most of the time. The other midos, when it comes time to punish, that he uses, it's the midos too small. He uses only sometimes, and he knows when to do it.
In other words, so we can't punish because we don't know the right time to punish.
Sometimes the Navi will know the right time to punish. For example, Elisha, a Navi, when he had to punish somebody, he knew the right time. So we have to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because we're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bottom line is, we know that we can't accomplish anything without you. We can't accomplish anything without you. And therefore, we need you. And we need your guidance. And we're going to follow in your ways, because if we follow in your ways, that will go ahead and give us the guidance that we need. We're following your ways, we're showing. We screened this out, we're showing we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need his guidance. And he's telling us to follow his ways, to be a rachum, be a chanun. That is the idea. That is the idea of slicha. So just to put it together, we asked the question that's how tzedakah works. Because when I get stuck at what I'm saying is, I'm following HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Okay, I'm trying to get that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to be a racham, to be a chanun. What does it mean to be a racham? Just say, oh, I feel so bad for the person. But to do something for the person. I have to show that I'm following HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way. Because when I follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way, I'm showing that I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to guide me. I'm recognizing that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not able to accomplish anything. And that is the idea of why tzedakah. What does tzedakah accomplish? Tzedakah accomplishes that we're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't do it without you. I'm going to follow you. And I'm screaming out, God, I can't do it without you. And because of that, I'm able to go ahead. And I'm able, because I can't do it without God, I tell the God, I'm going to follow your ways. Because I need you there. And to wait, to be inspired by God, is to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. And that could be actually even according to Rashi. Rashi says that Shinui Maisa is a person who goes ahead and he changes his actions. That's Korea Bigzardin. When a person changes his actions because he's saying, I need you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I can only come close to you if I change my actions. That's the koach. That's the koach haslichos. And that is the koach. And that is the koach of slichos and the koach chorish elam. You know, the Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos, Paraglam halacha bay, source number 14. Ezuhu kavod. What is the kavod that you have to have? A person has to have for Shabbos. And I'll explain next from the Shabbos and chorish elam in a minute. He says a person has to go ahead and first to wash his face, his hands, and his feet. And he has to go ahead and sit, umis'atif, but sitsis, waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why again? Because a person, what's mis'atif? The idea of when Shabbos comes and you spend there HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're mentioning the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not able to move without you. I saw for the first time in my life, as I said, I'm a litvak, but I started learning spasemes. Someone pointed out to me that what Sfas Emes says is widely known in Hasidic circles. So Sfas Emes says, Elul, as we all know, was a time of Yimei Ratzon. Yimei Ratzon, based on the Zohar. He says, Shal Shuvus on Shabbos is also a time of Yimei Ratzon, just like Chodesh Elul. As a matter of fact, that tefillah which we say in Shulah Mincha and Shabbos morning, and Monday and Thursday, Brich Shmei, which talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's really the point, if I understand correctly, that tefillah was originally
enacted to stay only at Menchen Shabbos. However, as you know, we as Jews like to always add tefillos, and therefore it came into the Shabbos morning tefillah, came in Monday and Thursday, but it comes from the Zohar of Menchen Shabbos. There's something very special about as Shabbos is going away. The Sfas Emes says this is Yimei Ratzon, and so is Chodesh Elul. Why? I think the idea is because we just spent the day with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as Shabbos is going away, we're realizing, without Shabbos, how do we get through the week? That realization hits. Realization hits. There's something, that's why there are people who like to extend Shabbos, keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu with them. That's the Yimei Ratzon. And that's the Yimei Ratzon of Chodesh Elul. So, Slichos, Chodesh Elul, Achashu Av Meis Hashem, Osa Avakesh, Meis Hashem, is to realize that we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't just need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fight our enemies. We don't just need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be successful in business. We don't just need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to raise children, grandchildren. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our own souls, our spirituality. That's the Yimei Ratzon of Chodesh Elul. And that's why these are days that we have to work on ourselves, but it's not days, I don't think anymore, walk around being afraid. It's more days of realizing how much we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's preparation for Shoshana. But just to finish off, someone asked me, and I think you understand, you know, if you talk to any psychologist, they'll tell you, like, what does Slichus do to a person? He says these prayers, he knocks himself down. You know, maybe it's a good thing, most people don't know what they're saying. Right? And he says, you know, a teacher goes ahead and a teacher says to a student, "No, I'll tell you a story about me, actually, and you know, let's keep the idea in mind. I don't want to talk exactly in detail, but when I was in I think in eighth grade, there was a professor. I don't even know his name. His name from Northwestern University. His name was Professor Butts. I don't remember the name. Okay." Professor Butts wrote a book basically saying the Holocaust was a hoax. He said, then it happened, maybe 200,000 Jews died. And at that time, we had an assignment that all of us had to write a letter to a different bookstore and say they shouldn't carry the book. Okay? So we did. I wrote a letter and I found which bookstore I wrote it to. I walk in one day, you know, the school I was in. And the secretary knocks on the glass. There was a glass office. Tells me to come in. And she says, "The bookstore calls you. They want to speak to you." Okay. So standing there was someone else from the staff. And said to an eighth grader, "I don't think you should call." I said, "No, I want it." So basically he says, because you know, this is such an important issue. And there's somebody in the class that's more articulate than you. Okay? Okay. So the truth is, you know, my personality is great, whatever. You know, whatever works, and I think about it. I went upstairs, and there was my English teacher, who says, "Oh, man, I heard that they called you." And I said, "Well, this person says that I shouldn't call them because someone else should call." And I still remember she stood up, and she said, "Well, I think you should call, and you'll do a great job." That's how you raise, that's how you teach a student. Right? So here we come to Slichos, and we're for the pit. We're all of a sudden saying this or this, we can't accomplish anything. So I don't understand, I can't accomplish anything. And let's say after the first day of Slichos, I'm going ahead and I'm about to put in my talis and my tefillin. How am I supposed to have proper kavanah? I can't accomplish anything. It's not going to help. How am I supposed to daven? The answer is that the second half, the Torah Shebaal Peh, is no, without God you can't accomplish. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can accomplish everything. And that's the point of Elul. It's not to realize that without God we're nothing, but it's to realize with God we're something. And that's what we have to work on, that's what we ask for, that's what we aspire to.